I think part of the trick, or part of the issue, or the practice in loving kindness meditation, is to find some way to be able to offer loving kindness or friendship or warmth towards others in a way that doesn't have any requirements on it. Can it just simply be wishing someone well? So when we go through loving kindness meditation systematically, we start with ourselves, and then we kind of go through stages of the practice. And stages can be done in one session of meditation. They can be done over the weeks, over the months. And I knew one person who I think spent 3 weeks intensive meditation retreat only doing loving kindness towards themselves. And they felt kind of strange about that, because they felt, well, it's kind of selfish, and you know, I should be loving people that are really difficult. That's, you know. And so she went to her teacher and said, this is really, I feel kind of selfish, you know, and I should be doing loving kindness to people who are my enemies. Because you know, the last category is enemies. There's, first you do yourself, then you do friends and benefactors, and then you do neutral people, and then you do to what's usually most difficult is the enemies, or what in English we usually translate it as difficult people. So she went to her teacher and said, you know, shouldn't I kind of, you know, I spent 3 weeks now on myself, shouldn't I just jump ahead and go do the difficult people? That's what really counts, right? And his response was, why make it difficult for yourself? And well, she had added in some kind of moralistic judgment about what needed to happen. Whereas the point of loving kindness meditation isn't some kind of moralistic ethic that you have to and you're supposed to love and love everyone equally, whatever. Rather, it's a practice that's supposed to help you. And does it really help soften and open your heart to what's there and to your own self? And the process of doing that and the intention of wishing others well, there is kind of exchange. There is kind of often a kind of a benefit in the world. But the primary point is, is it really helping you soften up and waken up? So someone pointed out recently that at any given moment, there is someone in the world who is doing loving kindness practice, wishing loving kindness for all beings. Because there's a lot of people in the world who are doing loving kindness meditation. It's a popular practice, especially in Southeast Asia. So you're almost guaranteed, if among the millions of Theravadan Buddhists, there's probably someone who's doing loving kindness right now. And if they're wishing all beings loving kindness, if they're wishing all beings happiness, that includes us. So someone's out there in the world thinking about us kind of maybe indirectly and wishing us as part of all beings to be happy. So is it possible to receive that kind of maybe abstract or impersonal kind of well-wishing from someone? Is that a nice feeling to feel that maybe there's a community of people? And probably you don't have to go to Southeast Asia to find such a person. Probably right here in California. Maybe even in the Bay Area, there's enough people who do loving kindness meditation. But there's someone right now who's wishing us loving kindness, wishing us happiness. And this, I was also thinking about this thing about vulnerability in relationship to loving kindness and love. With some people that I have some deep heartfelt kind of affection for, people I've known for quite some time, I sometimes have kind of habitual ways of being with them, kind of habitual little kind of maybe joking ways of being, and kind of way maybe teasing them slightly, kind of habitual ways of expressing my good feeling towards them. And it's kind of nice, and usually they take it well, and it's kind of like playful or whatever. But what I've started to do is to hesitate from doing those habitual little acts of kind of teasing or whatever I do, and settle back into what that's coming out of, what the feeling is that's coming out of. And if I relax and give some space rather than just acting habitually, what I feel then is a kind of vulnerability, a kind of tenderness. And that tenderness is somehow obscured by the habitual kind of little joking or jiving or whatever it might be. And it feels very precious to kind of then be with those good feelings and the tenderness of them or the vulnerability of them or the whatever. And then you sometimes you don't want to say anything. It's just enough to kind of look and smile and or whatever. Does that sound familiar to anyone? Or? And then the last thing I thought of thinking about this week, before we do some meditation, is usually we start doing loving kindness by directing loving kindness towards oneself. And but there's kind of it's funny, it's a kind of in directing loving kindness towards oneself, there's in a sense kind of a split between you who's directing it to yourself and you who's receiving it from yourself. So there's both the giving and the receiving happening at the same time. And most of us, maybe when we send loving kindness towards ourselves, are associating with the person giving. But there has to also be the reception there. So when you do loving kindness to yourself, can you also allow for the receptivity? That is really a nice thing you're doing for yourself, opening up and to yourself and wishing yourself a little bit of happiness or well-being or whatever. For those of you who might be new to this, does it sound a little bit strange, this idea of sending wishes, well-wishing, wishing others happiness or wishing oneself happiness? Does this idea seem unusual or strange or selfish or uncomfortable? No?
It seems a little unusual in its abstract.
Yeah? Uh-huh. So there's a formal way of doing it, and you can. There's some books on loving kindness meditation, and they talk about the formal way. And when I do an introductory series, which I'll do probably in March, I'll do one. Then we'll kind of go more or less do the formal thing. But in these in between times, it tends to be a little more creative what we do. So hopefully we'll see how it goes today. So why don't you take your... Yes?
This may not be the right time to ask this, but I had recently read Sharon Salzberg's book, uh-huh. which I liked a lot.
Yeah.
And I remember being on an airplane, went home for the whole book. And when I got to the difficult people, it was. I felt it was very artificial because the opening that it took for me to do that was... It took a lot.
Uh-huh.
Could it have been... that I was just running through them too rapidly.
Could be.
I mean, if somebody spent 3 weeks on themselves. So the big question is, maybe it's not really to be answered, how do you gauge your readiness for practicing those kinds of meditations?
I'm not sure, but what's often instructed is that if you do it with sending loving kindness to a difficult person, and it's difficult to do that, then you drop back into yourself and do it toward yourself for a while. Mm-hmm. And establish the field of loving kindness towards oneself, and then from that space, if you can establish it, then you move out again and experiment with a more difficult person. And you might vary with the intensity of difficulty. So you don't choose, you know, the most difficult person the first time, but you choose the mildly difficult person, or you know, the minorly difficult, and maybe someone that you actually have some good feelings toward, but that particular day they're a difficult person for you. So you do that for a while and slowly get a hang of it and beginning to expand that sense and beginning to relate to other people from different points of view. And to be able to see not only the potential but the right other people have to be happy, regardless of how difficult and how horrible they are, that the potential is there for tenderness and care and all these things. And start relating to that rather than to relating to some of the surface behavior is part of what's needed to begin offering loving kindness towards difficult people. So what does it take to kind of change the way you see them? It doesn't mean, you know, accepting what you don't like about them if it's something really unethical or condoning it, but can you see them from a little bit different point of view? And sometimes the practice of compassion comes into play with difficult people because sometimes difficult people are difficult because of some suffering they're having, some pain they have. So can you relate to that pain that's underneath the difficult behavior? And then you can relate to them in a different way and then either have compassion for them and from that maybe offer them some, you know, you wish them well.
Is there a rule against sending loving kindness to somebody who's dead?
There is a rule. The rule is, as I understand it, is that you shouldn't send loving kindness to... there's two general ways of doing loving kindness meditation. One is just as a general kind of way of softening the heart and establishing kind of a more friendly attitude towards oneself and one's experience and towards the people around one. And it's just kind of a generally, kind of done kind of generally. The other way is to cultivate the feeling of loving kindness, doing the practice, and then once you have that feeling of warmth and tenderness there, to focus on that as a concentration practice, and then enter into very deep levels of concentrated bliss on this feeling. That becomes the object of your one point of concentration. It's said that if you want to develop loving kindness, to develop very strong one point of concentration, then you should not do it towards someone who's dead.
Then you shouldn't.
That's the rule. And I don't know why that's the rule, but that's the rule. And sometimes teachers will say you shouldn't do it at all towards people who are dead, because it's difficult to really, if someone's dead, you know, where are they? And it's kind of hard to kind of imagine how they can become happier if they're dead. But for some people, that's not an obstacle. They can imagine them somewhere. So that's my answer.
So there are people who are dead that are important that we learn to forgive. This is not an optional way to do that.
There are people who are dead who we need to forgive? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
All of us, I'm sure.
Forgiveness is essential, because if forgiveness is essential if there's resentment.
And
if there's no resentment, then forgiveness is not an issue.
This exercise wouldn't be appropriate for that.
Maybe, I don't know. Sometimes forgiveness forgiveness meditation is done before doing loving kindness meditation. So it's also considered a separate meditation, so you could do that. But it could be. I mean, I myself don't see any strong reason not to do it towards dead people, and to kind of sort out and heal that relationship. However, sometimes there can be a lot of suffering there, and a lot of strong memories can come up that are very difficult. So sometimes it can be maybe best to avoid that and wait quite a while until you have, you know, pretty stabilized in the basic practice. Which reminds me, many of you know Bill Mason, because he was in a car accident maybe last week. He often comes to this in loving kindness class, and he was riding his bike and was hit by a car and broke a lot of his ribs and an arm and a wrist, and he came home from the hospital and he had a hard time breathing because of this, the broken ribs, and so he went back into the hospital. So maybe today we can send him some loving kindness. So take a comfortable posture, sitting upright in an alert way. And close your eyes and take a few deep breaths. Breathing into your center of your chest, into your heart. Breathing out and settling into your body. And then breathe normally. And then for a few moments, take stock to kind of just recognize and acknowledge how you're feeling right now in your body and in your mind and your heart and feelings. And there's no need to feel any different than you are, but simply acknowledge it. And then bring your awareness back to your center of your chest, to the area around your heart. And feel what is there, however subtle it might be. And there's no right or wrong thing to experience or feel, but just feel that area, the center of your chest, the heart center. And then allow or imagine that your breath moves in and out through that center of the chest. And then as you're breathing in and breathing out, bring to mind some person who has loved you or loves you. Some person who is relatively uncomplicated, the relationship. A grandparent or a parent sometimes, or a friend, a relative. Someone who has some affection and love and care, who has wished your well-being. I'm going to recall this person, perhaps having their face, the image of their face in front of you. Perhaps remembering what it was like to be the recipient of their affection, their kindness. And as you breathe in through your heart center, breathe in the warmth or the kindness, the sweetness. Breathe it into your chest, into your heart, into your body. And as you breathe out openness. Breathe out the tenderness within you. And then you might bring to mind the fact that at this very moment there are people in the world who are sending loving kindness to all beings. And that in that kind of sense we sit in the field of their radiating loving kindness to us sitting here right now. Can you very simply breathe in the kindness, the love, and breathe out the openness and tenderness. And you can add a simple phrase or word to the in-breath and out-breath. So in the in-breath you can say something like love or yes, something that acknowledges the receipt. And on the out-breath you can say openness or tenderness. Allowing yourself to be loved, allowing yourself to be the recipient, the care of others. And then you can switch now to receive loving kindness from yourself, sending some feelings of well-wishing, wishing yourself happiness and safety and health and well-being. Can you connect or feel, however subtly, the intention that you can be happy? And as you breathe in, you can breathe in the phrases, may I. And then as you breathe out, receive and relax and settle into the final word, happiness. May I be happy. And I'll go through various phrases, and then in your own time, may you on. May I, you can say on the in-breath, may I be, and on the out-breath say the end of the phrase. With a sense of receiving loving kindness from yourself. May I be happy. May I be free from harm. May I be filled with joy. May I be filled with delight. May my body be at ease. May my mind be at peace. And then you can continue for a while on your own, breathing in, may I be, and breathing out some phrase that might come up spontaneously that expresses some care, loving kindness for yourself. Breathing out and settling into the phrase, receiving the intention. And then if there's some part of your body that feels ill at ease or uncomfortable or tense or whatever, some part of your being, you might express your loving kindness, the words or the phrases, to that part of your body. Again, as you breathe out, finishing the phrase, relaxing into the phrases as you breathe out. Directing it towards that place and letting go. And now bring to mind some person that you love, some person that you have affection towards or gratitude towards, a friend or perhaps a benefactor. Perhaps you can hold the image of the person in front of you. Perhaps remembering a time when they were happy or their eyes smiled. And then breathing in and out through the heart center. Connect to whatever sense or feeling, however subtle, you have that wishes them well. That wishes them happiness. That wishes them a smile on their face, in their eyes. And then you can repeat, you can connect to that feeling and that intention, however subtle it is, and then express quietly to yourself the following phrases. May you be happy. May you be free from anxiety. May you live safely. May you be free from bodily harm. May you be filled with joy. May you be permeated with delight. May you be at ease. May you be at peace. And then you can continue quietly a little bit, either with the same person or some other friend or benefactor. Just quietly expressing whatever intention you have for their happiness, for their joy, for them to smile. and settling back down into the place that can feel the intention, that can generate the intention for someone's loving kindness, for someone's happiness. Perhaps you can feel the tenderness or the vulnerability or the openness that is there when you wish someone loving kindness. And from that place, from that tenderness, once again, wish yourself loving kindness. Wish yourself happiness. May I be happy. May I be at ease in this body. May I be free from suffering. May I be filled with joy. May I be permeated with a tender, with a delicacy of tenderness. May I be free from mental worry. May I be at ease. And then in the last minutes, we'll just simply sit quietly together. And you can let go of any phrases or thoughts or concerns, any judgments or worries, and simply sit as you are right now, sitting peacefully and quietly with your own breath coming and going. How was that? Do that half an hour of guided meditation.
Difficult. Oh yeah. I mean, it was easy at first, but when you started adding in, I guess other significant others, things came up.
And I can imagine it's difficult, but things coming up doesn't necessarily mean that the practice is not working. That what happens with loving kindness meditation is kind of like, the analogy is kind of like you're softening the armor or the holding of the heart. And as you soften kind of the outer covers of the heart, what's in the heart has a chance to show itself. And sometimes what's hidden there is more love, but sometimes it's other feelings that are buried there, right? So they come out. And that's considered great, because at least they're coming out rather than staying buried. So sometimes when people do loving kindness meditation, they have all kinds of other things come up. And that's fine. And you can either continue doing loving kindness meditation, just the best you can, or you can drop it and do a mindfulness meditation. Just be mindful and aware of what's actually happening.
Yeah, I had to do that a couple times.
Yeah, good.
Start naming a little bit.
Good, good. What kind of feelings came up?
Well, some of the phrases kind of reminded me of, when you say my experiences in fundamentalist Christianity, you know, praying, and it really, I prayed at that time, and so it was like,
oh, I see.
So it was hard to say, you know, may I be happy, because I was, it was almost like, Lord, the first word, was Lord, may I be happy, and that really, you know,
this really
backed off. Well,
I would too. Okay. But so the difference, I suppose, is that we're not asking for someone else to do it for us. But rather what we're doing in loving kindness meditation is connecting, not so much even with the expectation that it might happen, but connecting to that we can have the intention that for ourselves that we be happy. And that intention is really very important and powerful. And if we tend to overlook that. But if we kind of acknowledge that intention, that well-wishing, then it tends to become stronger and tends to permeate or perfume our life in a nice way. And there's kind of often kind of letting go and relaxing and kind of that we're kind of like you're making space for what's kind of natural, what is there if you just give yourself a chance. Sorry?
Over time, you'll learn that.
The person who I first saw at the beginning very dear friend of mine. And as I was trying to call her up and feel her love, I was reminded of she has cancer. And I felt the resistance of letting her feelings come in. I got such a loss at my hands. It's very hard.
Yeah.
I felt very clumsy too.
Mm-hmm. Do you think so? You give space, you soften the heart and give space to the feelings that you have. It's very important.
I ended up feeling very neglectful of myself. I've been going through a period of a lot of anger at people and situations, and I felt like I really have not balanced that out. And it felt good to, it felt refreshing to do all of that. The first person I remember was a friend of mine, and we've been friends for years and years and years. We don't live close, but we get together, and it's just the same. It's a rare friendship, and I just treasure it. I just, it's a wonderful thing. So, I really liked all of that. Like I said, it felt very refreshing.
So many people are living either very busy lives, or they feel they're not justified in doing it. But many people then don't give space to feeling good about themselves, or trying to do something good for themselves. And it's fine to have a wish for your own happiness, and to make space for that, the possibility.
When I do something fun, like come Monday night, do some other things, I get the feeling of real wholeness. It's very restoring too.
Nice.
So as soon as I closed my eyes and realized that all these things were still running, the stuff from my day was still running, and so I was having trouble even paying attention, kind of losing the mindfulness. And I noticed that I was being angry at myself for not being able to listen, you know, to hear every word. And at some point something changed, and I realized that was that I just needed to feel gentle and kind to myself for still being in this swirl of ideas. So that the very thing that was keeping me from doing
beautiful
meditation was the thing that I could see as just, hey, it's okay, that I'm not able to pay attention.
Beautiful. That's really beautiful and wise. And whenever something comes up strong, like if sadness comes up or anger comes up, or many things might come up when you do loving kindness, and that's kind of things like it kind of throws you off a little bit because it's not exactly loving kindness. That's what you send loving kindness to. May my anger be happy, or may my anger be at ease. So it's kind of a different relationship. It all fits within this wonderful kindness.
Yeah, it sort of just turned the whole thing on its head.
Yeah.
And then now I all of a sudden realized I'm doing the advanced practice. because I'm the difficult person.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Well, I felt when we were doing the AIB, I felt like my chest get really tight and my breath started to get short, and I was conscious of that. And we were saying, let the thought just come to your head, you know, the AIB on the exhale. I was already trying to think of what I wanted to send myself on the in breath. So then I just said, yeah, just be. and then I felt it like really tight in my chest, and that was really uncomfortable. So it was just like, may I be.
That sounds great. That sounds like Vipassana. That's great. May I be. May I just be. It's beautiful. Sometimes if you do that with, you know, may I be on the in-breath and then the out-breath, if you don't prepare, but just, sometimes you can be surprised by what comes on the out-breath.
Yes, I was too prepared. I was already thinking of what I wanted to say before I was, you know, in my breath. No. And that's why
the chest is so good. Yeah, may I be, I love it. It's a nice way. That's the advanced practice, may I just be. Was anybody surprised by the phrases that might have come? If you did it that way, may I be, and then... No?
I was impressed by the variety. I thought that was great.
I just noticed what happens to me when I do meditation is that I lose track of everything.
Yeah.
Like, I can hear you, and it seems like when you're not speaking, it seems like a really long time, but yet I'm relaxed.
Uh-huh.
And it's like I just kind of lose track of time. It's a wonderful feeling, though. I'm like, oh. And then you talk again, I'm like, oh, yeah. What am I doing? So I think, you know, I'm getting it, but yeah, I was just kind of like, what words? I was just, you know, there.
Great.
Nothing was coming, really, no words.
But being there was pleasant. It was mm-hmm. great. Maybe that's what you needed to do to be kind to yourself, or just allow yourself to be there. It's enough. It's a big deal just to kind of sit down and be quiet and not rush around. Mm-hmm. Just be with yourself in this kind of simple way. It's a powerful kind of opening up and unwinding that happens just by itself, just by sitting quietly.
Towards the end, I really felt you know, the group being all of us here. It was a nice feeling. Settled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt that too.
I noticed that it was very different this time from the last time I did it. Last time I did it, it was when you did the other course. And it was very easy because everything was going very well at that point. And it was easy to be happy. And I'm in a different place right now. and it was not an easy day.
Uh-huh.
And so it was almost diametrically opposite. It was much more like your experience, where I kept having to forgive myself for being angry and for not being able to concentrate and for, you know, being confused throughout. And so it helped me a lot to hear what you had to say, because I was very disappointed because it wasn't like I expected.
Well, I think you have to just kind of accept and forgive yourself, accept where you're at, and not fight and struggle against it. I mean, that's going the opposite direction of loving kindness. And doing loving kindness practice isn't just, you know, the result isn't that you're supposed to feel happy as a result. It isn't like you're successful if you feel happy, or you feel kind of all this loving, feel warm kind of feelings. But it's really just a strengthening that intention, finding that intention. And you can find that intention in the middle of being horribly angry. But there can be in there a little intention that oh, may I be happy. Oh, I remember now, I have this wish that I could be happy. And then reminding yourself, giving some space for that wish. And that's all that it is. You don't have to end up feeling, you know, radiant. Sometimes you might and sometimes you won't, but don't set up that as an expectation. Well, thank you all very much for coming and